All right, good morning, everybody. This is a special Community Corrections Partnership meeting set for today, Wednesday, October 24th, 2012, 9:30 a.m., also a special time. We are going to convene the CCP. Ms. James, can you please call roll?
Chief Coogan?
Here.
Terry Valley?
Here.
District Attorney Green?
Here.
Sheriff Public Defender?
You say Conrad Moore?
Yes.
Dominic Garvey appearing specially for Mr. Moore. Sorry.
Sheriff Youngblood?
Here.
Director Dr. Waterman?
Here.
Chief Williamson?
Here.
Director Alvarez?
Here.
Director Cheadle? Executive Director Corson?
Here.
Supervisor Go?
Here.
Director Lewis?
Aaron Ellis for Phil Stevenson.
Superintendent Lazardi Frazier? Kenny Hughes here for Lazardi Frazier. Division Director Maripol?
Here.
Okay, thank you. Now we're going to go through the consent agenda, which, as always, there are none on the agenda today. I will also open it up for, well, since there's nothing on, there's no public comment either. We will go right to number one on the agenda right now, and that is, I would like everybody to stand, please. We're going to have a short, if everybody would please say a prayer or a moment of silence or meditation in honor of Arthur Titus, who passed away on October 1st of this year. And if Mr. Arbidi would like to say a few words afterward, I would most certainly invite him to do that. If not, thank you very much, and please have a moment of silence. Thank you very much.
You want me to say something?
Yes, if you would like to.
I'll just say a couple words. I didn't know this was going to be on the agenda. I know Harvey would be honored that everybody here time to remember him. I would just say Art, I think, would want to be remembered as somebody who was very dedicated, not just to his clients, but the entire criminal justice system. I know he had a lot of respect for everyone that was participating in this, and I know he knows that everybody's got a role. In fact, I don't know if everyone knew this, his father was a police officer. So I think he'd want to be remembered as a very committed and professional defender who you know, contributed and always did his best for his clients and, I think, for the entire system. Thank you all very much. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, item number two. Approval of the minutes from the CCP meeting from September 19, 2012. Are there any comments, changes, corrections that need to be made on the minutes? And does everybody like the new format better?
Sure, Becky does.
Yeah.
She does.
Okay. Any comments from the committee members? Okay, I will need a motion and a second.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Corson, second by Dr. Waterman. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you very much. Item number three, time for public presentations. Any member of the public that would like to address this committee on any item that is not on the agenda today, please, there are some time constraints. We did start late. We will hold you to a two-minute time limit today. So if there's anybody who would like to come up and speak, please approach the podium. Please state your name, where you're from, and address the committee.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jan Castillo-Flory, and I just wanted to invite you. Tomorrow is our grand opening for our residential facility. We'd love for all of you to come, have lunch with us, and tour the facility. If get a chance to see what it is that we're trying to do there, and hopefully we'll be able to serve this population, AB 109, that, you know, that's being released right now. So we invite you. The time is at 11 o'clock. The address is 3501 Edison Highway. That's Edison at Sterling. And just come and have lunch with us. We'd love to have you. Thank you.
Ms. Castillo, are you ready to open immediately? Is that
we are.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else from the public? Okay. Please.
Good morning. My name is Meta Mashiyeki, M-A-S-H-A-Y-E-K-H-I. And I'm an attorney with the Greater Bakersfield Legal Assistance, and I'm also a secretary for the Kern County Homeless Collaborative and the chair for the SOAR Standing Committee. And SOAR is a new project that we're developing. It stands for SSI, SSDI, Outreach, Access, and Recovery. And it is a project sponsored by SAMHSA, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services. And basically the purpose is to help homeless individuals and those at risk of homelessness to obtain SSI and SSDI benefits on using the SOAR method to help them get the application approved on the initial level. And it is targeted for those with mental health conditions and co-occurring disorders, but it's not limited to those only. And I just wanted to share this program with you guys because it does help our county funds to decrease our county expenses on county funds, like with general relief and with the KMC HP plan. And it saves our county funds and instead charges Medi-Cal and Social Security for those who are actually eligible for it, and it does it on a quicker basis. The regular approval rate for those who are homeless and who don't get any assistance with SSI and SSDI benefit applications are 10-15%, but with this program it helps them get approved at about 70% approval rate. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, my name is John Cassidy. I'm the Executive Director with Kern County Hispanic Commission on Alcohol and Drug Abuse Services. I'm here to let everybody know that we're eagerly awaiting an influx of AB 109s, and we're preparing or are prepared to do case management, substance abuse treatment, and we have a long history of working closely with Kern County Mental Health and other providers. Community. We currently only have one AB 109, but like I said, we're expecting several more to come in. Real briefly, our current client was one of those who didn't want to stop using, but for some reason, after about 3 or 4 weeks, she decided she wants now to find out why she uses, and she also wants to stay out of prison. So, you know, our experience has taught us that if we can keep our clients more than 30 days in outpatient, they really tend to complete, and the rate jumps from, well, it jumps up to about 70% completion once they pass the 30-day mark. So that's our challenge, is to keep them there for these 30 days, and then we tell them they can't leave because, you know, it's too late. So anyway, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else from the public would like to make any comments? I see none. Thank you very much. We'll move on to item number 4, which is the chairman's report. I have just a couple of things that I'd like to report out on. The members of the committee, if you would like to look at the back of the packet that Ms. Jamison gave out, that's a little more updated information regarding the conference that will occur next week, November 1st, November 2nd, regarding AB 109. I believe there are three different departments that will be attending this. I am going to charge the sheriff's double, but just kidding, Donnie. But we will register everybody this week, and at that point we will do have to pay for the money up front, so we will up front the money at the beginning.
If you just pay it, I'll pay you back.
Yeah, checks in the mail, right? Okay. Anyway, so that's just a little more updated information, plus the agenda for the actual conference itself. So is on the back of the today's packet. The other thing that I wanted to mention was yesterday we went before the Board of Supervisors to present the 2011-2012 data trackers that Ms. Jameson put together. She puts a lot of hard work into this. There's so much more that they're asking of her now. But we will be collecting all that information. And basically, what the board has requested was just that they want to put together a resolution with us joining with other Central Valley counties who are in the same situation as we are, who are receiving a large amount of post-release community supervision offenders, more non-non-nons back into their community. But we got a smaller cut and percentage of the total funding that was available. So we're going to try to put together some kind of a information packet in order to provide to CSAC, who determines the formula for the division of the funds, to see if we can change that. But I'll tell you, we will probably have an uphill battle for that. This information will go to CSAC and some subcommittees that that the board mentioned yesterday, for those of you who did not attend or did not hear about that. It will also include crime stats, so we'll be collecting information from all the law enforcement agencies. We'll collect information from mental health and so forth and try to put it all together in one packet. Alan Crowder will be collaborating with Ms. Jameson, and he is expected to put out a press release, I believe today. Is it today that he's in? Okay. Press release today regarding this. And then if anybody else at a later time can think of who else we need to send this packet to, go ahead and let Ms. Jameson know, and then we can do that too. The more allies we have in Sacramento, the better. So this will be something that, like I said, that's going to be an uphill battle. Right now, the funding formula has been established for 2 years, which is this fiscal year and next fiscal year. And I don't know if we're going to be able to make any changes in these 2 years, or even changes even after this formula is no longer there. And that is if the funding is still there, for that matter, too. So if that happens, then we're all in trouble. But I just wanted to kind of report out as to what happened yesterday. I think it was a very good board meeting. I want to thank Undersheriff Wall, DA Green, Dr. Waterman, speaking up yesterday, helping me out with the information statistics. There's a lot of information there. I know the board was very interested in this, and they are, I think they are in full support of us to do that. One last thing is just that I will put this on the agenda, I believe, at our regular meeting in November, but because we talked about doing an RFA, correct? I think we need to just let the board know it's not really a change in the plan, but a kind of an addition to the plan as to how we're going to proceed with these contracts. And so just to inform them of how we're going to proceed, so they're kept in the knowledge and in within that information. So I will agendize that for the next meeting. But other than that, that will be that is it for my presentation. Now, number five, the CCP committee member announcements and report. Anybody, members of the committee, have any reports or announcements to make? Yes.
Aaron Ellis, employers training resource. I'd just like to give a brief update on some of our referrals from the probation department, some of our placement numbers. to date, we have enrolled 96 participants since February 12th when we started accepting enrollments from probation department. And out of those 96, we have 23 placed in full-time employment at this time, which is great. And we sent out a RFP for work experience, and that ended on October 22nd. So staff are now reviewing the applications for the RFP to provide work experience. So hopefully sometime in November, we'll start the work experience program for the AB 109 participants.
Okay. Thank you. And I would just like to say that between Ms. Lewis, who will be retiring,
She's already retired.
And then Mr. Ellis here, we've worked very closely in streamlining our process and making it much easier to send referrals over to them. And I appreciate all of your help and in this because I think employment services is very important for these clients. And I know they're still too much for you and I to handle. So. We do look for outside resources, but I do appreciate all your work in this. So thank you, Mr. Ellis. Anybody else from the committee members like to make any announcements or reports? Okay, I see none. We'll move on to item number 6, which is a request for approval of 1-year funding for grants for community-based organizations. Dr. Waterman.
Yes, it is my fault that we're meeting today. I will review with the committee what we have done to date, but the exact reason for calling this meeting is that as we put together the RFA, request for applications, and by the way, we did, I'll go into that in a minute, but what we realized was that the plan itself is fiscal year by fiscal year in this group. It really makes no sense to put out a proposal and have somebody bid on something to start in January, let's say, and be done in June. That is a non-starter. So what we would like the permission to do from this group is to take that $930,000 that was designated for this program and in advance approve it extending over the fiscal year so that we can put out a 1-year grant proposal or grant. Essentially, we're kind of rolling the money, half the money into the next fiscal year ahead of time, so to speak. I'm not explaining that very well. I don't know, Sandra, if you want to help me.
I'll take a stab at it. It makes perfect sense to me. The problem is we get our money at the beginning of the fiscal year, July 1st. It takes the committee a month or two to figure out how they want to dole out that money. And then each year, the CBO subcommittee is going to have to go through a process of contracting with vendors or renewing contracts. I don't ever see that happening before September or October at the earliest. And like he said, there's no point in funding a partial year. It's going to take people a couple months to get these programs up and running. So we're thinking this will probably be an ongoing thing if we can run our funding cycle on a calendar basis that gives the committee time to get their whole AB 109 allocation, figure out how they're doling it out to the departments and the CBOs, and then the CBO subcommittee time to distribute it to the CBOs. Is that any better?
No, that's money person.
So we're looking more at a calendar year, January 1st to December 31st.
That will allow us to put this out for 1 year. And it's 1 year with an expectation or a hope based upon available funding that it could be renewable for up to 3 years. Now, the other thing we did is the more typical way we go about these things is to do an RFP, where we make up the program and we say we want somebody to bid on a program that has this, 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 and this. We really didn't do that. We met with the county people, the purchasing and legal, and really came up with the idea of doing it like a grant, which makes great sense in this instance. So community-based organizations will be telling us what they will do, what they're proposing to do with the money, where the money would go, and what of the 8 needs that we've articulated in the grant they would be addressing in their proposal. And I think that makes a world of sense. That will put, though, a tremendous burden upon the selection committee, which, as we met last time, consists of a representative from each of the executive committee departments, plus two other subject matter experts that I'll select, I guess, is the way we said it before. Now, that committee will have a big job because they're going to have to not only decide who wrote the proposal, but you know, make decisions about, do we do $100,000 proposals, or do we do $450,000 proposals? Those are very important decisions, and that decision will get at the heart of whether or not something is really workable or not, because the size appropriate to the service being offered will be a really important decision. So that's why we're here. We're here technically to approve the rolling, or the 1 year, the calendar year funding for this grant proposal. Then I just wanted to also make sure everyone knew what we were doing with the grant proposal. There will be a meeting next Wednesday at 11 o'clock in the East Training Room at our building, at the Commonwealth Building, to go over with interested CBOs the document, the grant proposal, answer any questions, and that's again typical. And then those grant proposals are due by November 15th, I think.
Okay.
It's Tuesday. Tuesday 11th, yes.
The 30th.
Thank you.
So just to clarify, if I might, Terry McNally, so the money's already been allocated. You're just reallocating it to a calendar year. So we're not actually voting on an allocation of resources, just a redistribution of the money. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes. May I ask a couple questions?
Greg Williams, yeah. Bakersfield Police. I understand the overall process, but to drill down, the subcommittee or the committee that we approved to look at this $983,000 for the CBOs is going to make some important decisions. Once those decisions are made, are they concrete? Are they coming back to the executive committee, to the board of supervisors for the allocation to those, or how does that process work, I guess?
The committee will make recommendations to us.
To the
CCP executive committee, I think, technically. We've been running that as a dual process, having the CCP and then the executive committee. They'll make recommendations. They'll say, we recommend these three providers or whatever to do this. We will then make the decision. It doesn't require the board approval in the sense of approval of what we decide, mm-hmm. because that's in the plan, but they'll be county contracts. So the board will approve those county contracts. So they will have every opportunity to see what is being contracted. Is that a fair
statement? Okay, yes, Supervisor Scott.
Thank you to all of you who are going to be on that committee. It is going to be a big decision. I would encourage you to think about how substantive change can be made based upon our needs, rather than to say, well, we're going to give everybody a little tiny piece and nothing can get done. You have to think in the same way that it took people to accomplish what you all are trying to do. These groups will have to be hiring personnel. So you want to think in numbers that are substantial enough so that they can actually hire people for that. And something else just to keep in mind is that everything doesn't have to be exactly equal. So you don't have to necessarily do $100 or $200, $1,000 chunks. You might, I think with the gang prevention approach, people looked at the capacity of the organizations, areas of greatest need, so that there was just a lot of flexibility in the decision-making powers of the group, and that's what we've entrusted all of you with. But just to be able to think in terms of a need that's similar to yours in terms of hiring people, so a quantity substantial enough to accomplish that.
Well, and that's one of the reasons we opted for the first-year contract with the possibility of extending for two additional years, because some of these people are going to have to hire people, some of them may have to purchase equipment. You know, they're going to have to gear up probably to do this, and is that worth doing for a year? I don't know. So, plus it provides an incentive for them to do a good job so that they're renewed for two additional years.
So the executive committee members, you'll want to be thinking who your best subject matter experts are in your department, so you can designate someone to participate in this, because it won't be you. Of the Brown Act, and so it will be an appointed advisor ad hoc committee to do this. Just one other detail, just to put it out there. Again, I want to make sure every time we present this that it's understood that this isn't a mental health or substance abuse grant program. It's a CCP grant program, and it has the elements in there. We just volunteered to lead the process. The money will not go even go through our budget because that would mess up our cost reporting in our services. So I believe the county will designate a separate what?
I think we're going to be able to pay it right out of the fund. The money sits in prior to being doled out to the departments. I think Dean Sanford can pay right out of that fund.
Our department will do the contract monitoring, and of course we'll bring that back to this group as it goes along too. But we already do 50 million dollars in contracts, so we'll put that into our process.
Yes, Supervisor Cobb.
Thank you. Just a question regarding the funds that have actually been allocated to mental health and substance abuse. Some of those will be subcontracted to community groups. Approximately how much do you think might be awarded to community groups?
Well, those dollars already have been awarded to community groups. On the substance abuse side, the vast majority of it is going to community-based organizations. So again, the 1.6 million for substance abuse, probably 90% of it goes to community-based groups. On the mental health side, it's a little harder because some of the contracts are like for inpatient hospitalization. That's a little different. That's not exactly a community-based organization. But we have contracted for a significant program with one community-based organization for almost half a million.
Can I just add to that?
Yes, Director Alvarez.
Billy Alvarez. 100% of the dollars, the $930, will go out to CBOs. None of it is staying with Kern County Mental Health for any reason, for any oversight. We're just incorporating, if you will, additional providers and services into the mix of how we monitor programs and how we hold programs accountable and reporting and evaluation, et cetera, et cetera. But none of those dollars will stay with Kern County Mental Health at all.
Thank you. So that might be something that we all keep in mind, or those of you on the committee, that $930,000 already has been allocated.
Okay. Any other comments?
Yes. For Lazard Frazier. Just a question. Sometimes when you make one little change, there's a domino. And I'm not sure about the data collection and data reporting requirements. So if they're required on a fiscal year, but we're going to be running programs on a calendar year, just something to think about or perhaps discuss, will that influence and make it more difficult to collect and report data?
This is David Cugay, Chief Probation Officer. I don't think so, because what we do anyway is collect data and report out every quarter. The only thing is, when we come out with our annual report next year, it would probably have only two quarters in it for that rather than all four quarters, but it'll eventually get reported as we report out quarterly and then come out with one annual report. So won't be a complete picture in the annual, but it does get reported out quarterly. So I think the information will still be available for everybody. Yes, Dr. Bonner.
One other item that sort of circled about, and that was how this action relates to the Board of Supervisors. I believe our current understanding of this is that everything we're doing has already been approved in the plan, but we want to go to the Board of Supervisors as Chief Probation Officer Cugay mentioned a moment ago, and make sure the board understands what's coming, what we've done, and the nature of this, because it will hit it'll cross over their budget process also. So they need to know in advance that we're going to be rolling half of the program dollars into the next fiscal year.
Tom Corson, Network of Children, real quick. It's real similar to what we do with the child abuse prevention dollars. Our governing board basically decides where the money should go. We do an RFP process. The governing board says, yeah, this looks good. We then run it to the Board of Supervisors so they get to see the dollars that are coming through, even though technically they're just approving that contract with the county and us to subcontract out. So that makes sense.
Yes, Director Allen.
Just real quick, I want to go back to the data collection. I don't believe that currently there are state-required data elements for some of these services. And so as a result, we're going to have to work locally to determine what are the data elements that are important to this subcommittee, number one. But the other thing that we've done in the boilerplate, which is an attachment to the application, is that if you do a careful look in that contract, you'll see that we are, for example, requiring programs, should they be selected, that if, in fact, in the future there were any kind of evaluation effort, that they would participate in those evaluation efforts or any of the reporting that the county is requiring. So I just wanted to kind of a placeholder just in case that in the future there were funding ongoing and there's a statewide evaluation project or there's a local evaluation project or it comes down to this subcommittee and the things they want.
So select your person. We'll be busy the week following the 15th of November in this process. And then we'll want to bring that recommendation, looking forward to in the scheduled meetings, we'll want to bring that recommendation back to the CCP as soon as possible after that selection process occurs.
Yeah, I think our next scheduled meeting is for the 28th, but I don't know if we'll be ready by then.
That's probably a pretty good timeline.
Timeline, okay.
And do we communicate that person to Dr. Wallman or to our selection?
I don't know. We'll send out a communication.
Okay.
Any other comments, questions? Okay, so.
I would move that the CCP forward the request for the change in funding cycle for the grant for CBOs to the Executive Committee for approval.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. McNally, second by Sheriff Youngblood. Okay, any comments from the public regarding this process? I see none. Should we take a roll call vote, Mr. Morgan, on this? I'm just going to just take a general vote. So all in favor of this motion?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, motion passes, and it will be referred to the Executive Committee. Okay, and then our item number 7, again, as I indicated earlier, that our next CCP meeting will be November 28th, 8:30 a.m. at this location. This was just a special meeting and special time for this particular agenda item. So our regular meeting will be still held on November 28th, and hopefully we will have some information regarding the process and the programs by then. Okay, and then I have a motion to adjourn the CCP meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Director Alvarez, a second?
Second.
DR.
Okay. Second by Director Miracle. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you very much. Now we are going to convene as the Executive Committee of the CCP. Ms. Jamison, will you please take roll?
Chief Cugay?
Here.
CEO Terry McNally?
Here.
District Attorney Green?
Here.
Interim Public Defender Moore?
Dominic Arabidi for Mr. Moore.
Sheriff Youngblood?
Here.
Director Dr. Larman?
Here.
And Chief Williams?
Here.
Okay, item number 1. Again, we have approval of the minutes of the Executive Committee meeting for September 19th, 2012. Do I have any comments, questions, or additions, mistakes, corrections to be made for those minutes? I see none. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Moved by Chief Williamson. Thank you. And seconded by Mr. McNally. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, once again, we have public presentations. Anybody would like to come up and address the executive committee regarding any matters that are not currently on the agenda item today? I see none. Okay. Item number three. Any executive committee member announcements or reports? Okay, again, I see none. Item number four. All right, there was a motion that was approved and to present to the executive committee to change the funding cycle for the CBO contracts to a calendar year rather than a fiscal year, with the possibility of renewals, I guess. Anyway, and so any comments regarding that? Yes, Dr. Waterman.
I just noticed that there are two different dollar amounts in our materials.
Are there really?
The agenda has 983,304, which that's a number I didn't put in there, and it's so specific. Sandra, is that a number that?
That's what I'm thinking. I don't know what the right number is.
Jameson, is that the correct?
Is that where we ended up?
So, if that's the correct number, then we will correct. It's not really germane to the chronic problem for the grant. It just means there's a little bit of additional dollars for the grant.
Okay.
We wrote the grant for $930,000. So.
Yeah, I believe it was 983. I think it was that amount. Yeah, you'll take more money. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So, will that be any potential problem, do you think, in this RFA process?
Director Albers.
Chief Cugay, when we host the applicant workshop, whatever we're calling it, next Tuesday, there will be a series of minutes that will follow, because there'll be questions and answers, and everyone should have. It's not mandatory to come to that meeting. However, everyone should know if anything was discussed that's going to affect their application. And in those minutes, we can note the additional amount.
Okay.
And I would also say, how did you advertise the RFA?
RFA is on the county webpage.
It's on the county's purchasing page where we put the RFPs. We did a press release. It's on the county's homepage. You guys had a mailing list, correct?
We also did that. We've also sent it to CCP webpage. It's on the relations webpage. Oh, it's the same page.
Yeah.
It's in the Kern County Mental Health webpage, so it is widely disseminated. And we'll use the same process to disseminate the minutes.
Okay. That okay? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Moore. Any other comments by the executive committee? Okay.
I would move that we adopt the CCP recommendation to change the funding cycle for the CBO grant.
We have a motion by Mr. McNally.
Second.
And second by Sheriff Youngblood. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. So that is that. Now, our next executive committee meeting will immediately follow the CCP meeting on the same date of November 28th, 2012. The time does say 8:30, however, that's when the CCP will start, but the executive committee will begin immediately following that other meeting. So, and then item number six, I'd like a motion and a second to adjourn as the executive committee. You know what? I forgot public comments on the motion. I apologize. Is there anybody, a member of the public, would like to comment on that motion? Yes, Ms. Castillo.
Sorry, it's not on the actual motion there. I don't know if it's important or not, but I'm just talking about the data that's available. So in order to respond better to the RFP, we as a community-based organization would like to see what the data is in terms of who's, who is this population, some demographics about them, age, gender, so we can better prepare our programs to suit the population. And so I'd like to know how we can have access to that.
Ms. Jameson, is it that posted on the CCP website too, our data trackers?
No, not the demographic information. It's not just what we have in our
just what we reported to the board. Okay.
We're not specifically down to age, gender, location.
Perhaps Ms. Jameson could bring those materials to our meeting next Tuesday, and then we can attach them and post them.
The probation department can certainly do it for the post-release, for the non-non-nons, and then we can bring that information and then make it available at the meeting.
For Tuesday.
That can be critical, because some of your services, if you're providing housing and some of those things, it may be gender-specific.
Yes.
So that could be crucial.
Okay. We will have that available for that Tuesday meeting then. Okay.
Can I ask what specific information against the board?
Well, just really the basics, basic demographics, the age, gender, basic things that we need, maybe ethnicity as well, so that, we can make sure that our staffing is diversified. Just really basic data, and I think I sent you an email about, data.
Okay. Any other comments? I apologize for not opening up public comment before we voted on it. Okay, then I will need a motion now to adjourn as the executive committee in a second.
Second.
I'm sorry, who? Dr. Waterman's motion, seconded by Sheriff Youngblood. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you very much. That was the quickest meeting we've ever had.
Dr. Waterman, you know how to run a meeting. I'm
yeah.
Yeah.
Sheriff Youngblood?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Katie.
19. Good. How are you?
Sheriff's Department.